بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد Continuing in the book of At-Tahara in the work Umdat al-Ahkam by Al-Hafiz Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. The author, he mentioned وَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْوَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنُّهُ قَالْ إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَجْعَلْ فِي أَنْفِهِ مَاءً ثُمَّ لِيَنْتَثِرْ وَمَنْ اسْتَجْمَرَ فَلْيُوتِرْ وَإِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ نَوْمِهِ فَلْيَغْسِلْ يَدَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهَا فِي الْإِنَاءِ ثَلَاثًا فَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُهُ وَفِي لَفْظٍ لِمُسْلِمْ فَلْيَسْتَنْشِقْ بِمَنْخَرَيْهِ من الماء وفي لفظ من توضأ فليستنشق. The author, he mentioned these narrations, wordings of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if one of you is going to make wudu, then let him put water in his nose. Let him put water in his nose and then take it out, then blow it out. And if one of you uses the restroom and he wipes himself with a stone, and we know something that's similar likewise here with a stone, استجمرَ فليوتر, then let him use an odd number. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if one of you wakes up from his sleep, then let him, or he must wash his hand first before putting it into the vessel three times. For verily, one of you does not know where his hand spent the night. And in one wording by Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, that you should draw the water in your nose, and take it out, al-istinshaq. And in one wording, likewise, whoever makes wudu, then let him make al-istinshaq. Make al-istinshaq. This is drawing the water into the nose and taking it out. So this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discusses three rulings, three issues. The first one is al-istinshaq, what is istinthar. Al-istinshaq, this is jadhbu al-ma'i bin-nafasi ila al-anf. Al-istinshaq, it should draw the water into the nose. This is called istinshaq. From the verb istanshaqa, yastanshiqu, istanshiq, istinshaqan, to draw the water into the nose, ad istinshaq. Who knows this word? It's a new word. Who can say it? Ad istinshaq. What is ad istinshaq? This is a hukm shar'i. Naam, this is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ad istinshaq. Naam, what is that? To put the water into the nose. To put the water into the nose. طيب والاستنثار استنثر يستنثر استنثر استنثارا. This is يعني إخراجه بعد إدخاله. To bring it out after putting it in. نعم, they say انتثر, or even before that it has come in the wordings نثر من باب نصر. صر. نثر من باب نصر. نثرا. Naam, this one is also the same, has a similar meaning. Naam, and nathara yanthuru. Tayyib, also ala wazn ifta'ala. Falyantathir ifta'ala, intathara. Or this, what wazn is that? Intathara. Infa'ala? Nathara. In tathara, if ta'ala, if ta'ala. Faryantathir, faryantathir. In tathara, also the same meaning. Also, ala wasn't istaf'ala. Kaif to call? Istanthara. These wordings have come. They have the same meaning in the text, in the text here. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the wording here is, he says, thumma liyantathir, thumma liyantathir. Naam, and this means to take it out. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the first part of the hadith. And as we said, it has three rulings. The first ruling is the clarification of the mashru'iyyah. Another word. We learn vocabulary along with these hadith. Mashru'iyyah. Mashru'iyyah to shay'in. Something that is legislated in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The ulama, they call it mashru'iyyah. This hadith is indication of mashru'iyyah, the legislation that is legislated in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla to make istinshaq. Naam, so here he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَجْعَلْ فِي أَنْفِهِ مَاءً. If one of you makes wudu, then let him put the water in his nose. Let him put the water in his nose. What does that mean? What's the word for that? في أنفه في أنفه الفم هذا فم وهذا أنف في أنفه في أنفه نعم الأنف نعم. So he said put it in his nose. Did I say mouth? لا, in his nose. نعم, put it in his nose. And one word again, Sahih Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said فليستنشق بمن خريه من الماء. And so the meaning of فَجْعَلْ فِي أَنْفِهِ مَاءً فَلْيَسْتَنْشِقْ مَنْخَرَيْنِ. المنخرين, المنخر is this, the hole, the nose hole, the nostril. نعم, the both of them, مَنْخَرَانِ. These are the wordings that have come. So this is the issue of الاستنشاق والاستنثار. After it goes in, it has to come out. So to take it out, it's called استنثار. It's called الاستنثار. نعم, the ulama, they differed about the obligation of this, and Allah knows best. What is correct is that it's an obligation. It's an obligation. It's part of the face. The washing the face in the wudu, we've seen in the previous classes, فَرَضٌ مِنْ فُرُودِ الْوُضُوءِ. صح? كَمْ هِيَ كَمْ فَرَضًا لِلْوُضُوءِ. How many of the arkan, or كَمْ رُكْنًا لِلْوُضُوءِ. How many pillars are there?
Four.
Six. What are they?
The face.
Uh-huh. The face, the hands to the hands to the elbows. That's two. Wiping the head. And the feet to the ankles. That's four. In order, tartib, that's five. Ah, now the knee is kharij. Kharij, here kharij, min shurut. Al-an al-hadith an al-arkan. We're talking about the pillars, huh? Al-muwalat. Al-muwalat. That is done consecutively. Inshallah, we'll discuss these some of them in detail. But here, this is the obligation of the face. So the ulama, they say that the nose and the mouth is from the face. So the face has the inside and the outside. Yani the outside has to be washed, and also the inside has to be washed. Naam? So the one who washed his face and didn't rinse his mouth. He didn't mention the mudhah here, but there's a hadith, inshallah, we will discuss. But just to mention the ruling, that the istinshaq, putting it in the nose, as in this hadith, this is an obligation. If a person, for example, he made wudu and he didn't make istinshaq, then his wudu is not correct. Then his wudu is not correct. Imam Ahmad was asked about somebody who made wudu and if he forgot to make his istinshaq, and he said, yujibuni an yu'id. He said, I prefer that he would repeat his salat. And the ulama who consider it an obligation, I mean, part of the face, the actual part of the face, it must be performed, just like any other body part. So a believer, whenever he makes wudu, he will not leave off the istinshaq. And one narration in Sunan Abi Dawood from Laqith ibn Sabira radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا تُكُونَ صَائِمًا. To do it well, to draw the water in high on your nose. بَالِغْ, yani to do it very good, the istinshaq, except whenever you're fasting. And then he said, وَإِذَا تَوَضَعْتَ فَمَلْظْ مِلْظْ. Also in another narration, also by Laqith radiyallahu anhu, إِذَا تَوَضَعْتَ فَمَلْظْ مِلْظْ. So these are both commands. Naam, these are both, this is a command here. And here likewise in this narration, there's a command. فَلْيَجْعَلْ فِي أَنْفِهِ مَاءً فَلْيَسْتَنْشِقْ بِمَنْ خَرَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَاءِ. These are commands. And the ulama, they say, the ulama of Usul al-Fiqh, that the origin in the command is that it's obligatory. Now, so if we look into the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll see that everyone who described his wudu, they made istinshaq, huh? And also madmada, also madmada. We seen what the istinshaq was. This is to draw water in the nose to take it out. Al istinthar, nam, taib, to put it in the mouth. This one is called al madmada, nam, al madmada, nam, or tamadmud, madmada, nam, madmada. Is to put the water in the mouth. But the meaning of madmada itself is yani tahrik, haraka. Naam, so whenever he puts it in the mouth, madmada, he shakes it around, he moves it around, وَيُمُجُّهُ, and spit it out. And spit it out. This is the madmada. So the issue that we want to discuss here about this narration, or this portion of the narration that has come directly in this text, the obligation of istinshaq. But along with that, the obligation of madmada. Of al-madmada. This is an obligation in the wudu and in the ghusl. And in the ghusl. In the wudu and in the ghusl. Naam, to wash the nose and in the face. Some of the ulama, they mention it sunnah for ghusl. And obligatory for the wudu are backwards. Naam, like this. But a believer, he will not leave it. He will not leave the istinshaq and the madmada. Naam, this is something that is from the furud of al-wudu. In the ayat al-wudu, who knows ayat al-wudu? There's an ayah in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. As we have seen in previous classes, that there are some verses that have names. The ulama have named them. They're famous, or they're known by a particular name. Like ayat al-hukuk al-ashara, sah? Ayat al-mihna. Also ayat al-kursi, sah? Taib, also there is ayat al-wudu. The verse of al-wudu. Naam, which verse is that? Surah Ma'idah, Ahsantum, Naam. What is the verse? Ahsanta, al-ayah. All you who believe, if you stand to the prayer, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ يعني إِذَا أَرَدْتُمْ الْقِيَامِ الْصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ. That's the first one. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. And your hands to the elbows, and including the elbows. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ. So you wash the head, you wipe the head, excuse me, and then you wash the feet to the ankles, and including the ankles. These are the four obligations, the four any pillars of al-wudu. Also, the tartib is in the ayah. Now, because this is how it's mentioned in the verse, like this, in that order. Now, and there is an intent there behind that. So the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know, it clarifies the Quran. There are many times that the Quran has come in a general sense, like in this verse here. What did he say? Subhana, faqsiru wujuhakum, wash your faces. Taib, the command to make wudu and the obligation or the pillars of wudu are in this verse right here. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made wudu, whenever he washed his face, he made madmada with istinshaq. And it was not reported from the Sahaba that he ever left these. Every time he made wudu, and he kana yuwadhibu ala al-madmadati wa istinshaq sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, he did it all the time. All the time that whenever he washed the face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made the madmada wa istinshaq. So the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarifies this, and it's been clarified in his statement and in his actions. And this is the strongest type of sunnah, a sunnah al-qawliya wal-fi'liya. Whenever he commanded it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and performed it himself. So this is the proof, or some of the evidences for the scholars that they mention that it's an obligation. And it's from the pillars. You have to make madwada, what is in shaq, whenever you make wudu. Also, there are benefits in that, and that is that there are germs and there are organisms. There are things that, and dirt and dust, and could be diseases that would accumulate in the nostrils. And by cleaning them out, this is beneficial for the body of the person. And likewise, whenever this cleans the nostrils, that's the pathway to the brain for the air to reach. And a person, he's able to breathe. And whenever the air reaches his brain and the rest of his body properly, he's able to have energy and the like. So it's likewise very beneficial for the human being and in the dunya and for his health, that he would clean out the filth from his nose. And likewise, it's known that shaitan, he sleeps on the nostril of the human being. At the nighttime, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that. He mentioned that. Naam, so it has many benefits to remove this this filth from the nose. In any case, what is the best opinion on the ruling of the madmada wal istinshaq? You can leave it in the wudu, or you can't leave it. You cannot leave it. It's from the it's part of the face. It's part of the face. Naam, it's part of the face. It has to be performed. It has to be performed. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned the next ruling or the issue. He said, "Thumma riyantathir." And this is the case. So to bring it in and then take it out. Excuse me. Then he said, "Waman istajmara falyutir." Waman istajmara falyutir. Al-istijmar is whenever a person he will use stones. Al-istijmar and yastamil al-jimar al-sigar, these small stones, like in Hajj they call ramyu. Al-jimar al-hasad, sagira. So these small stones, and whenever one would use them to cleanse himself from the restroom, whenever he uses passes urine or passes feces, he will use these small stones to cleanse himself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever does this, this verb here is called istajmara. Istajmara. What does that mean? Istajmara. Al-istijmar. So far we took al-istinshaq, al-istinthar. Now we have also al-madmada. Now this word here, al-istijmar. What does that mean? These are all words that are very important in the bab of al-tahara. Al-istijmar. What's that mean? To use stones, huh? Small stones to cleanse the feces and the urine off of the part where it comes out from, and the place of exit, to clean it like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man istajmara falyutir," that whoever uses the or makes istijmar, then he should use an odd number. So what does the odd number start with?
One.
Will one suffice? One. One will not suffice. Why not? That's odd. If he used one, could you say autaratu? Ah, if he used one, he could say that linguistically, autaratu. And I did it one time. I made witr, sah? But is that sufficient in the legislation? La, it has come in the hadith of Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nahahum an yastajmir bi aqalla min thalathati ahjar. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited them from making istijmar with less than three stones. It's a hadith. Hadith of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. Likewise, there is another narration. This is from his statements. Huh? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam nahahum. He prohibited them. And he told them, you can't do it. He prohibited them from making istijmar with less than three stones. So then we understand this narration. Man istajmara falyutir. Bithalatha aw akthar. Falyutir and bithalathati ahjar aw akthar. Naam, with three stones or more. And also even in the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he commanded the Prophet sallallahu, excuse me, the Prophet commanded him radiyallahu anhu to get him three stones. He was using the restroom. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he came to him. And he told him to bring him three stones. So he brought two and he couldn't find a third one. So he brought a rotha. He brought some feces of an animal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَخَذَ الْحَجَرَيْنِ وَرَمَى الرَّوْثَ وَأَلْقَاهَا. And he threw the other one. He said, هَذَا رِكْسٌ. And he didn't accept that one. He took the two stones. And he told him to get another one. So here is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself in application. So again, here in the issue of tahara or the issue of al-istijmar, we have this established in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam min qawlihi wa fi'lihi, from his statement and from his action. From his statement and from his action. Naam, that whoever is going to make istijmar, then he must use witr. And then there's no less than three in this. And the ulama, they mentioned that what takes the place of a stone is anything similar to that. Likewise, and even for example, the paper, the toilet paper, this takes the place of the stone. The one who used toilet paper, this one is considered he made a stijmar. Now I'm the one who used toilet paper. So then the way to do that, and the legislated way of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to use the object, whether it's a stone or whatever the case may be. For example, in our day we use toilet paper. Naam, we won't find a stone in the restroom, akramakum Allah, but there's toilet paper. It takes the place of that. It has the same ruling. It's considered al-istijmar. Fahimtum hadha? Naam, and then the person, he must do it, use at least 3 times. Meaning that if he cleans himself the first time, and it was clean after that, he has to do it again until he does it 3 times. You understand that? Or if he cleansed himself 2 times and it was clean, he has to do 3 times. If it's clean before 3, he has to make it 3. أَقَلْ شَيْءٍ, the least it can be 3. طيب, if he did it 3 times, it's still not clean. What does he have to do? طيب, it became clean at 4. What does he have to do? Make 5. This is the case. If it came clean at 5, huh? If it came clean, did it come clean at 5? It came clean at 6. What does he have to do? Make 7, like this. But a person, and he will not make mubalagha, like, dude, just clean it. It doesn't take a lot of times, yani. But the aqal shay thalatha, like this. We've seen before also, just like we don't be negligent, we don't go to extremes. Yani, we don't go to extremes. But the case is that if it's not clean on the witr, or if it becomes clean on the shafa, on the even number, you do it again, make it witr. Until the person, he stops stops making istijmar on an odd number. On an odd number. Naam, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also from the methodology or the madhab of the Hanabila, they mention it's permissible to use, for example, the stone, one stone, if it has different sides. So similar like that, a person could use the toilet, one piece of paper, for more than one time. If he used it and there's still another part that's clean, he can use the other part that's clean. He used one part that's clean and there's another part he can use that's clean, he can use that would be considered two. That would be considered two. Also in the bab of At-Tahara, the ulama, they advise and they remind the believers not to waste. And that Allah Azza wa Jal, He doesn't like the wasters. Naam, kulu washrabu wala tusrifu innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. A believer, he remembers this verse. That Allah, He says, eat and drink. It's a command, eat and drink. Eat and drink, but do not waste. Verily, He does not love the wasters. He does not love the wasters. Some people, maybe he'll grab the paper like this and have more than he needs. Wasting the paper. And likewise the water and so on and so forth. A believer, he will remember this. Allah does not love the wasters. Allah does not love the wasters. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He does not love the wasters. So a believer, he will stay away from wasting and going to extremes and being extravagant and the affairs of luxury and so on and so forth. But he'll take what he needs and suffice with that. Take what he needs, and then he won't suffice with that. فَلْيُوتِرْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مَنْ اِسْتَجْمَرَ فَلْيُوتِرْ. That whoever uses the, or makes istijmar, then he should use an odd number. The witr in the affairs of the deen has come in many times. And Sheikh Ahmed and Najmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this, that فَلْيُوتِرْ, because this is tahara, well, tahara ibadah. Tahara is an act of worship. So then it's legislated to do it like this with an odd number. And there are many acts of worship that are legislated to be done in an odd number. Like for example, the tawaf. This is legislated to be done in an odd number. And he mentioned other examples likewise, like the ramy al-jimar, and also the ghasalat of the wudu. Whenever a person, he washes the wudu himself, he does it with an odd number. And this is legislated. 3 times is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The tawaf. How many times is that? 7 times. Huh? That's an odd number. What about going back and forth from the sa'i? That's also an odd number. What about stoning the jamarat? So the odd number has been legislated. We read that there's a really beautiful benefit from Sheikh Ahmed and Najmi rahimahullah ta'ala. He said in this issue here, مشروعية القطع على الوتر وهو طهارة وعبادة. He said this in this hadith is a legislation to stop to remove the feces or the najasa with an odd number, and this is purity, and purity is ibadah. He said, وَالْوِتْرُ مَقْسُودٌ لِلشَّرْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الطَّوَافُ وَرَمْيُ الْجِمَارِ وَالْغَصَلَاتِ الْوُضُوءِ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. And here's the benefit. He said, yani, that the witr is intended. It's a purpose in the witr and many of the acts of worship. From them tawaf and the stoning the jimar, also the washing of the wudu. And other than that, he says, وَهُوَ إِشَارَةٌ أَنَّ الْمُتَعَبَّدْ لَهُ بِهَذِهِ الْعِبَادَةِ فَرْدٌ وَاحِدٌ. So this is indication that the one who's being worshipped with these objects, he's one and only. The one who's being worshipped with this wudu, the one who's being worshipped with stoning the jamarat, the one who's being worshipped with the tawaf, the one who's being worshipped with these objects, or excuse me, with these actions of worship that are being done in an odd number, he himself is witr. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, one. He is one. This is an indication here and a reminder that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is one. Nam fi dhatihi wa sifatihi wa af'ali. وفي ذاته وصفاته وأفعاله. And in his essence and in his attributes and in his actions. Allah Azza wa Jal, He Himself is witr. So here is a reminder of that. A person, he will stop on witr and he will make the tawaf on witr. All of this is an indication of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who is being worshipped, He Himself is witr. Allah witrun yuhibbu al-witr. Naam, and He loves the witr. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the legislation here of al-istijmar. Also, there is, it's not mentioned here, but there's another type of cleansing from the restroom, and it's called al-istinja. And sometimes it's used, both of them is considered the same thing, al-istinja. But generally, al-istinja is with water, is with water. Nam yastanji. Nam, but sometimes it's used also to mean istijmar. In the same hadith as Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, he said that وَنَهَانَا أَنَّسْتَنْجِيَ بِرَجِيعٍ أَوْ بِعَظْمٍ. Yani, أَنَّسْتَنْجِيَ. He used the word istinja, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited them from making istinja with any feces of an animal, or with a bone, or with a bone. Naam, so in any case, the word istinja could be used generally, but here, if it's together, istinja, what istijmar, istinja, bin ma' is with water. What istijmar is with stones, or with anything that comes in the place of that. Anything that comes in the place of that. There's a clarification that ulama they mentioned, if the stone is real slippery, it's not accepted. Or if the paper is real slippery, like some nylon paper or something like this, it only smears it. And likewise, that istijmar is only sufficient if the najasa doesn't leave the place where it comes from. If it, like, there's a place where it comes out of, they call it the makhraj. In Arabic, it's the makhraj, the place where, yani as-sabil, yani makhraj al-bow, in the front, the place where it comes out of. Makhraj al-gha'it, in the back, with the place where it comes out of. If it goes beyond that point, there must be water. There must be water. Now, if it goes beyond that, if it comes out and it doesn't pass that point, it doesn't go either side to any other part of the body, then it will suffice to make istijmar. But if it moves to another part of the body, other than the place where it comes out of, and right next to that, then there must be water. Naam. Also, for example, if some feces, akramakum Allah, if it got on the leg, can you make istijmar? Under this ruling, that you can't. It will not. This has to have water. This is only when istijmar is only whenever it is removing it from the place where it comes out of. Ha min makhraj, min makhrajihi. Ha min makhrajihi. Naam, this is the place where you can use istijmar. Taib, which one is better, al-istijmar or al-istinja? Ah? Limada? Why? It's more cleaning. The ulama, they mentioned better, the best, and Allah knows best, what is the best way is to first make al-istijmar, and then to make al-istinja. Because if a person at first he makes istijmar, then this lightens the najasa, and then he uses the water to finish. Naam, as for if he just used water, naam, first, then there's lots of najasa to be removed, yarhamukallah. But if he made istijmar first, with the paper for example, and then after that he made istinja, this would be better for him. Better for him. Naam, so this is the legislation of al-istinja wa istijmar. And this is from the completion of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that this is also from the beauty of al-Islam. And the disbelievers, they don't know about that. The people in this land, they don't know about that. Some people, maybe they live their whole life, 20, 30 years, and they never heard of al-istinja in their life. I know some people like that. Naam, so the disbelievers, they're not aware of this. Yani this is from the cleanliness of Islam. Islam is clean on the inside and on the outside. Clean in the creed and in the belief, and clean likewise in the body parts. And it's a deen of purity. Walillahil hamd. So this is from the clarification of the completion of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there's not an affair in the affairs of the human life except for there's a ruling with regards to that, and the clarification and direction to, on how to perform it in the best manner. If it's just left there with no istinja, then this could be a reason to bring about diseases or filth, and or to bring about sickness, or at least foul odors, and so on and so forth. And this is from the beauty of al-Islam wa lillahi alhamd. The next ruling, the author, he mentioned that from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ نَوْمِهِ فَلْيَغْسِلْ يَدَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهَا فِي الْإِنَاءِ ثَلَاثًا فَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُهُ. He said here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if one of you wakes up from his sleep, then he must wash his hand before he puts it inside of the container. Naam, because one of you does not know where his hand spent the night. And one narration has been mentioned, yani qabr an yudkhilaha fi wadu'ihi. Yani mentioning that they didn't have faucets, and they were not able to turn the faucet on, so they would have vessels, and they would have bowls, and so on and so forth. And these type of containers that they would carry the water in, or that they would have their water in. They would have containers for water, and containers that are bowls that the water would be in, and they would make wudu from these vessels. They would make wudu from these vessels. So this hadith here is with regards to the one who wakes up from the night. And he wakes up in the nighttime, and before he is allowed to put his hand in the water, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said he must wash his hand three times. He must wash his hand three times. قَبْلَ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهَا فِي الْإِنَاءِ. Naam, in one narration, قَبْلَ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهَا فِي وَضُوئِهِ. So some of the ulama, they mentioned that this is with regards to the one who wakes up and he wants to make wudu. فِي وَضُوئِهِ. Here's some more words. We have the word wadu with a fatha on the waw, بِفَتْحَ الْوَاوِ. And then another one بِضَمِّ الْوَاوِ. Wu, wudu. What's the difference? Al-wadu is the water that you make wudu with. And the wudu is the action. Tawaddu is the action of making wudu. Is the action of making wudu. Naam. And likewise, tahur wa tuhur. Tuhur is the action of making tahara. And tahur is the water or the substance that is used, naam, to make tahara. Likewise, suhur wa sahur. Suhur is the action of eating that meal in the morning time before fajr. And sahur is the meal that one eats. Wukud and waqud. Wukud, iqadun nar, is to light the fire. Waqud, ma yutawaqadu bih, is the fuel for the fire. Waquduha an-nasu wal-hijara. Waquduha, the fuel. Waquduha jahannam, an-nar. Waquduha, waqud, is people. And stones, people and stones, the fuel. So this is here. So in this narration, قبر أن يدخلها في وضوئه also. But some of the ulama, they mentioned that specific for the one who wants to make wudu. But the case is that it's with regards to the one who wakes up in the middle of the night, whether he wants to make wudu or not. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَإِنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ لَيَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُهُ. Because one of you does not know where his hand spent the night, whether he wants to make wudu or not. Does he know where his hand spent the night? If he wants to make wudu, does he know where his hand spent the night? La. If he doesn't want to make wudu, does he know where his hand spent the night? La. So then if he wants to put his hand in the container, it's the same thing. It's the same ruling. Whether he wants to make wudu with it or he just wants to wash his hands, then the illa is the same. Naam, and the ulama, they mentioned that the one who, this is with regards, he's not sure. He doesn't know where his hand spent the night. Possibly there could be najasa there or not. His hand maybe went somewhere, and the night he's not aware of, and could have landed on something that is dirty or filthy or impure. So he's not aware of that. Naam, so there's the difference of opinion, whether it's obligatory or not. Some say it's obligatory, others say it's sunnah. The best opinion, and Allah knows best, is that it's obligatory. Again, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used the command. Naam, he used the command. Naam, فَلْيَغْسِلْ يَدَهُ Let him wash his hands. Naam, this is a command. But as for the, this is if he's not sure. If he is sure there's najasa on his hand, there's no difference of opinion. He can't put his hand in the container. طيب, do we make wudu from containers? Who makes a wudu from a bowl? Huh? We make wudu from a faucet. So is the ruling apply to us? Huh? If you wake up in the morning, do you have to wash your hands?
Yes, wash your hands.
Like for example, if somebody wants to make wudu, and he has to wash his hands. Yes, it applies to him. Even though he's not putting his hands inside water, he's using his hands to transfer the water. So before he takes the water and transfers it to his mouth with his dirty hand or possibly dirty hand, right? Huh? Then so the ruling is the same. Because although he's not putting his hand in the water, he's transferring the water. Now, so before he transferred the water to his mouth, before he transferred the water to his nose, similar ruling like before he put the water in the his hand in the water and possibly corrupting the water or making it filthy like this, or the same thing before he put it in his mouth. Before he put it in his mouth. So then the ruling is one. Now whenever a person wakes up, he'll wash his hands. Even if he's not going to make wudu, at least he will wash his hands following this narration. Likewise, there's another hadith. The author, he didn't mention, but it's also legislated that whenever a person, he wakes up, that he should wash his nose. Also from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ مَنَامِهِ نَمْ فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ نعم فليستنذر I forget the hadith. Remember the hadith? اللهم استعان فليستنذر بمن خريه من الماء تقريبا like this. But in any case, let him put the water in his nose. Let him put the water in his nose. فإن شيطانا يبيت على خياشيمه. Because the shaitan, he sleeps. He sleeps on his nose. Ah, here it is. I wrote it on this page here. He says here, the haditha of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ مَنَامِهِ فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ نَعْمْ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَبِيتُ عَلَى خَيَاشِيمِهِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَبِيتُ عَلَى خَيَاشِيمِهِ If one of you wakes up from his sleep, then let him make al-istinthar. فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ نَعْمْ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ Three times. Let him, what is istinthar? Here, istinthar is to take the water out. But here, if it's used by itself, before you can take the water out, what do you have to do? You have to put it in. So it's included by al-istinshaq with istinthar. Because you can't make istinthar except with al-istinshaq. فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَبِيتُ عَلَى خَيَاشِيمِهِ Let him make istinthar, and he'll put the water in his nose and take it out. Let him clean his nose three times. Because verily, shaitan, he sleeps in his nostrils. Verily, shaitan, he sleeps in his nostrils. Naam, and this is this particular wording is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim. So then from the sunnah of waking up, with regards to tahara, from the sunnah of waking up, we see here the narration that the author, he mentioned. What is that sunnah? Washing the hands. Naam, before putting them in something or using them for something like this, a person, he washes hands. Taib, also from the sunnah of waking up. Huh? Washing the nose. Naam, this is something we teach our children. We do it ourselves and we teach our children, very young age. We remind them when they first wake up, I need to make the dua first, of course. What's the dua for waking up, by the way? Naam. That we teach them that. She's little. We teach them that. Every morning, we remind them. Every morning. You say it with them slow. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. وَإِلَيْهِ نُشُورٍ Until they remember, and they remember like this, okay, alhamdulillah, now we have to go, huh? Wash our hands, wash our nose. It's the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if they're young, they're not even held accountable right now, but they understand, and they can comprehend your speech, and they understand, and they will do what you say, then you encourage them like this, and we raise them upon the sunnah from the very beginning, whenever they're young. Now, whenever they're young. So before we put the hands, we have to wash them. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُهُ, that one of you does not know where his hand spent the night. نَام بَاتَ الْبَيْتُوتَ, is at night time. So is this ruling only specific for the night time or any time? Huh? Any time or only at night time? Huh? Huh? Any time a person sleeps. Every time you wake up from sleep. نَام, that's the best opinion and Allah knows best. That's the best opinion, Allah knows best. Imam Ahmad, he mentioned that it's specific for nighttime. It's specific for nighttime. Naam, but the majority of the scholars, they mentioned that any an-nawm mustaghraq, whenever somebody has a deep sleep. Naam, because the ruling, whether it's a daytime or nighttime, does he know where his hand spent? Like for example, if he slept from duhur to asr, does he know where his hand was during the time from duhur to asr while he's sleeping? The same ruling, the same reason is there. So then any time a person, he sleeps a deep sleep, whenever he wakes up, he should apply the sunnah. He should apply the sunnah. And from many of the ulama that have mentioned this ruling and preference from them. And this is the opinion of Imam Ahmed, is that it's only nighttime. A specific nighttime, yani the obligation. And from the scholars of the Hanabila of our day, Al-Imam al-Si'di, rahimahullah ta'ala. But he is of the opinion that it's obligatory, daytime or nighttime. Daytime or nighttime. Naam, so we see that walillah alhamd, the ulama of the sunnah in our day, which is a favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla upon us, they follow the evidence, they follow the proof, and they spread the sunnah. And many of the previous generations, the sunnah and the people of the sunnah and the ulama of the sunnah were oppressed, and they were few. As we've seen in the time of Al-Imam Abdul Ghani, that he was, rahimahullah, he was kicked from his land because he was establishing the sifat and the correct belief and the creed and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he was banished from his land, and they want to kill him. Huh? And they strive to harm him because of his creed and belief. Alhamdulillah, in these days, the creed and the belief of Ahlul Sunnah is being spread and defended. It's being spread all over the lands, and literally, all the way till it enters homes in Oklahoma City, till it enters homes all in Indonesia, enters homes all over the lands, not just in the Arab lands or in the Muslim lands, any, but rather all in Canada, the Sunnah has reached there. Dawah Salafiyah is strong in certain places in the hearts of the people of the Sunnah because of the effort of the ulama in our days. In these days, this is a favor and a blessing. This is a favor and a blessing that the people of the Sunnah, they have ulama that are reliable and that are busy spreading knowledge in all ways. Naam, so then it's not specific to nighttime. Naam, is it obligatory or just preferred? The ulama, they differed about that likewise. The best opinion, and Allah knows best, it's obligatory. That it is obligatory. Naam, the next narration. The author, he says, وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ لَا يَبُلَّنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي الْمَاءِ الدَّائِمِ الَّذِي لَا يَجْرِي ثُمَّ يَكْتَسِلُ مِنْهُ وَلِمُسْلِمٍ لَا يَكْتَسِلُ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي الْمَاءِ الدَّائِمِ وَهُوَ جُنُوبٌ. This narration likewise from the hadith of Abi Hurayrah رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, do not pass urine and still water. One of you should not pass urine in still water that does not run, and then take a bath in it, and then make ghusl in it. One of you should not pass urine in still water and then take a ghusl in it. Like this. Do not do this and then do that. Yeah, but the meaning is not to do this and then do that. But the meaning is, لَا يُبَلَنَا أَحَدُكُمْ فِي الْمَاءِ دَائِمْ أَلَّذِي لَا يَجْرِي ثُمَّ هُوَ يَكْتَسِلُ مِنْهُ. And after that, you're going to be in need to make a ghusl in it. And you don't pass urine in this water that is still, and then after that you're going to need to use it for ghusl. After that you're going to need to use it for ghusl. So I mean, like the rule the here, ثُمَّ يَكْتَسِرُ مِنْهُ. And this is an indication to the wisdom behind the prohibition. And the person, he's going to be in need of the water. Now the ulama, they mentioned ثُمَّ يَكْتَسِرُ مِنْهُ, that this is a jumla ismiyah. A jumla ismiyah. How is that? ثُمَّ يَكْتَسِرُ مِنْهُ. Jumla ismiyah. Ayn al-mubtada? Ahduf, labud. Thumma huwa. They say, thumma huwa yaktasiru, and the fi'l is marfu'. Thumma huwa yaktasiru minhu. Yani, la yubullanna ahadukum fil ma'i da'im, alladhi la yadri, thumma huwa yaktasiru min. Like this. Then he's going to take use it to make ghusl. Like this. And his meaning, his indication, he's going to be in need of that water. And he should not corrupt the water upon upon himself. And one wording in Sahih Bukhari, ثم يكتسر فيه. And the meaning is the same. Do not pass urine in that water. Because either he's going to have to take use it for ghusl, whether he gets inside of it or he takes from it. In either case, there's a prohibition of that. The other part of this narration and the author, he mentioned by the wording of Muslim, and لَا يَكْتَسِرُ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي الْمَاءِ الدَّائِمُ وَهُوَ جُنُبُ. And one of you also should not take make a ghusl and water that is still. الْمَاءِ الدَّائِمُ, the water that's still, it's not running, it's still water. وَهُوَ جُنُبُ, while he is in a state of janaba. While he's in a state of janaba. So there's two rulings here. Both of them are related to water, standing water. They call it the water that's still, and he's standing. It's not running in any form. Na'am, it's not running in any form. It's standing water. The first one, you can't pass urine in that water. Na'am, the prohibition of passing urine in that water. Na'am, and the second one, the prohibition of making ghusl in that water, wa-huwa junub. But the ulama, they mentioned that, yani wa-huwa junub, this is not intended. Yani whether he's junub or not junub, you can't use that water to make ghusl. So the ulama, they discuss here the issue of water and the ruling of water. Why couldn't a person pass urine in the water that's still? It would not be purified because it might corrupt the water. It might corrupt the water. Now, this is the reason why it's impermissible, because possibly the water could become impure. The water could become impure, and then the people cannot use it. Then the people could thumma huwa yaktasiru min, and he's going to have to use it. Now, so this would corrupt the water. Naam, even if the water did not become impure. Naam, even for example, if somebody passed urine, ajallakum Allah, and some still water, and there did not show any trace, no trace of urine. He passed water in it, and he passed urine in it, and the water didn't change. The color didn't change, the smell didn't change like this, but the taste didn't change like this. It's still not permissible to do that, even if this was the case. And because that, for example, if somebody seen somebody doing that, even though if it didn't change, then it's still considered pure. If it didn't change, if the water is not changed, if the water has no trace of najasa in it, it has no scent of najasa, it has no taste of najasa, it has no smell of najasa, then it's pure. Then the water is pure. How do you know if it's impure? If it has a taste of najasa, or the color of najasa, or the smell of najasa. Now, this is how one he knows that it's impure. The ulama, they have a consensus about that. There's an ijma, that if the water changes, no matter how big it is, big or small, if it changes its scent, or its color, or its taste, by impurity, it became impure. It became impure. Whether it's a large amount of water or a small amount of water. They differed about a small amount of water. Now, but what is correct, and Allah knows best, that the water stays on its asl, that it's pure until one of these three things changes. So even if it didn't change, it's still not permissible. Because if somebody, for example, he's seen another person passing urine in the water, would he go make wudu from that? Even if we go there, we're like, look, it's still pure. There's no, it didn't change whatsoever. Would somebody make wudu on that? Make ghusl on that? La, abadan. So we see in this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the impermissibility of passing urine and water that is still, and still water, and the impermissibility likewise of you taking a ghusl in it, And the ulama mentioned here in the hadith wa huwa junub, and he's in a state of janaba. But many of the ulama, they mentioned that dhikr janaba kharaja makhraj al ghalib, and like this, but it's not understood like that, because the ruling is the same. Whether he was in janaba or whether he was not in janaba, then he's still going to cause the water to become dirty. So even for example, if he took used the water to make ghusl, he made ghusl in the water, it didn't become impure. But after that, would a person want to use that water? For example, a bathtub of water, a full bathtub of water, right? The bathtub is full of water, and then a person, he makes a ghusl in that. Would somebody want to come behind him and use it for wudu? We say, but it's pure. It's tahur. There's no, it didn't change. But still, a person, he wouldn't want to do that. Naam, so because of this, yani, that this is a means that would lead the water to become corrupt. Whether it could become impure, it could become najis. Even if it doesn't become najis, the people won't like to use it anymore. So whether it's najis or whether it's not najis, after it's been used in this manner, the people are not going to use it. So the water is going to be wasted. The water is going to be wasted. So from this reason, the ulama have mentioned that it's not permissible to do this inside of. So how would a person make the ghusl? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the narrator of the hadith, he was asked. And he said, يَتَنَاوَلُهُ تَنَاوُلًا, that he would take from it. He would take from it. If that's all the water he had, was this water here, he wouldn't make a ghusl in it, naam, or beer, but he would take from that, and then he will make ghusl in another place. Naam, that he will make the ghusl in another place, like this. Naam. Also, Al-Imam As-Sidi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that from the benefit of this narration, that we see the qaida, al-fiqhiyya, al-maqasid, or al-wasail, laha, ahkam al-maqasid. That the means, they have the ruling of the outcome and the intents. And that, the outcome of this action is that it leads to the water being corrupted, whether it becomes najis or whether it is not used at all. So therefore it's impermissible. And this is a means to corrupt the water. It's a means to make it impure. It's a means to make it not be useful anymore. So because of that, these means are prohibited. These means are prohibited because the means of that lead to something has the same ruling. So if something is halal, the means to that are halal. If something is obligatory, the means to achieve that are obligatory. If something is disliked, the means to achieve that are disliked. If something is haram, the means to achieve that are likewise haram. So it's not permissible to corrupt the water and to make the water impure, the water that the people are using. So because of that, the means that lead to that likewise are not permissible. Are not permissible. The next hadith, the author, he mentioned, he says, وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ قَالَ إِذَا شَرِبَ الْكَلْبُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَغْسِلْهُ سَبْعًا وَلِمُسْلِمٍ أُولَاهُنَّ بِالتُّرَابِ وَلَهُ فِي حَدِيثِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنِ مُغَفَّلْ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالَ إِذَا وَلَغَ الْكَلْبُ فِي الْإِنَاءِ فَاغْسِلْهُ سَبْعًا وَعَفِرُهُ الثَّمَانِيَةَ بِالتُّرَابِ. This is the hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clarified the ruling of the kelb, the dog, and that it is impure. Naam, the dog is impure, najis. At kelb, the dog is najis. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if a dog drinks in one of your containers, then wash it seven times. Naam, in one wording by Muslim, the first time with dirt. And then also in another wording by Muslim from the hadith from Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if a dog licks your vessel, then wash it seven times, and the eighth time use dirt, and the eighth time use dirt. So here we see the ruling of the kelb, either shariba in the first narration, or either walaga in the second narration, if he drinks or if he licks. So the first one means that if there's something in the container and he licks it, then it has to be cleaned. If the container and he drinks from it, excuse me, then it has to be cleaned. And likewise, the second wording, either walagha, meaning even if there's nothing in the container and he licks the container itself, either walagha fihi al-kalb. Likewise, then you have to wash it. You have to wash it. The ulama, they mentioned that this is the najasa to al-kalb, najasa. Mughallava, it's a stern impurity, and the only way to cleanse it is to wash it seven times. One of them with dirt. One of them with dirt. The wording of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu anhu, the eighth time with dirt. Some mentioned eight time, have mentioned about that. Others said seven times, and then some ulama, they mentioned there's no difference. They considered seven times, one time with dirt. So if you count the dirt as one time itself, that's eight. Other ulama, they mentioned that, actually like Al-Imam As-Sidi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the mention of eight is shadh, and that it's a mistake from one of the narrators, and what is correct is seven times. So also in the narrations it's mentioned ulahuna wa ukhrahuna, nam like this, the one of them or the last of them, or the first of them. The ulama, they mentioned that whenever one washes the something that the dog has licked, then it should be washed seven times, the first time with dirt. And the best time is to do it the first time with dirt. But it has to have dirt. There has to be dirt. Naam, if he licked inside of a bowl, then that bowl, it has to be cleaned. If there's something in it, and one wording in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلْيُرِقْهُ. Pour it out. Pour it out. Now, if he looked inside the bowl, pour it out. So even, for example, if there's no indication that it's changed, this one is impure. There's one wording also in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Tuhur, ina yahadikum. Tuhur. Yani to purify the vessel of one of your vessels, إذا ولغ فيه الكلب, if the dog licks in it. So the word tuhur is being used by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani meaning tahara. When is the obligation for tahara? Tahara is only used for two things. What are they? Raf wal hadith wa zawal al khabith. Naam, so there is either a hadith here or there is khabith here. The Prophet says, "Tuhuru ina'i ahadikum." He mentioned the word tuhur. So that means that the indication that the dog, if he licks inside something, then it causes it to become najis. And many of the ulama, they have mentioned that the dog, they differed about the dog. Is the whole dog najis? Is the whole dog najis? His body and everything? Huh? Some ulama, they mentioned yes. And some ulama, they mentioned he's not even najis at all. Naam, but what is the correct opinion? And Allah knows best. And from those who mentioned this opinion, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, that his skin, his fur is not najis. It's not najis. His saliva is najis. And the things that come from him, like his feces and the urine, and the likes like this is najis. And it has the same ruling. If any of these things gets on something or on a person, then it has to be washed like this 7 times. And it doesn't matter if it's just a bowl, any that's not specific to a bowl. If there was a spoon, for example, or something else, a cup, or anything else, if it gets on there, his urine gets on there, or the saliva gets on there, or the wetness from his nose gets on there, or the feces, akramakum Allah, gets on there, it has to be clean in this manner. If it's not clean in this manner, many of the ulama, they mentioned that it's not correct. It's not pure. It has not been cleansed. It has not been purified. It has to be 7 times. And there has to be dirt. And the ulama likewise, they differed, barakallahu fikum, about the permissibility of using something besides dirt. Can you use, for example, soap in place of dirt? Or can you use, for example, bleach or something like this, pine saw, or some type of cleaner instead of dirt? Many of the ulama, they mentioned you can't. Some, they said you can. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that it's best to not use anything except for dirt. To not use anything except for dirt. If there's no dirt to use, if there's no dirt, that this time he could use something else. He could use something else like sabun, like soap. But if there's dirt, there's dirt present, that he should not use anything except that. Because this is what is mentioned in the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Taib, the issue of touching the dog. You touch the dog. What's the ruling? Can you pet a dog? Can you pet a dog? If you pet a dog, will your hand become najis?
No.
Huh?
No.
Those who said that, yani some of the ulama they mentioned, and likewise, this is still the same opinion of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, if the dog is wet. Because the dog, how does he clean himself? And his tongue, he uses his tongue for everything. He uses his tongue for everything. He wipes himself, he wipes his legs, barakallahu fikum. He cleaned his body with his tongue. And the tongue, that's the part that's really, really najis. Naam, so then the ulama, they mentioned if the dog is dry, and a person, he touched it, nothing stuck on his hand, there's no problem. He doesn't want to have to wash his hand. There's no problem with that. If the dog is dry, he walked by him, and walked by his pants, or his thobe, for example. It's okay. If it's wet, if it's moist, then the ruling is applied. If the dog is moist, then it's the same ruling as if he licked, that if he licked you. This is some of the benefits that the ulama, they have mentioned about the ruling of the dog. We have to be careful about this, because some people today, they have imitated the kuffar, and we find Muslims, they have dogs for no reason. They have dogs and they imitate them and they take them as pets and they ride in their cars with them and they in their houses and their homes. This is not permissible. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that whoever takes a dog, then and he owns a dog, then a reward from his good deeds, the size of Uhud will be taken every day. Will be taken every day. And every day, that as long as he has a dog like this. And it's only permissible to have a dog for 3 reasons. Who knows them? We close, inshallah. Hunt, harasa, guarding, any guarding the farm, huh? And hunting, huh? Huh? Ra'i and sheep. And sheep. Naam. These are the reasons why. Naam. We close with that. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.